Good to see each and every one of you today, and we're glad that we have a nice morning. No snow on the ground, no ice. We've had that before, haven't we? We are studying the spiritual gifts of the first century church, and we're doing that so that we might understand those spiritual gifts better and understand what the purpose of them was, for which the purpose was. And we've done quite a bit of study, and we've studied about the fact that when people were baptized in the first century, it was necessary for the apostles to come and lay their hands on people in order for them to receive the spiritual gifts. Now, we see that from Acts 8 and also Acts chapter 19. That's exactly what happened. We've also seen that the purpose of those gifts were that it was for the confirming of the Word. It was to confirm the Word. Let me turn my phone off. I just heard it going off there. When are y'all texting me today? The purpose of the signs were to confirm the Word. Mark 16, verses 17 through 20. That's exactly what that passage says. And also Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, also in particular verse number 4, says that the Word of God was confirmed by the signs that followed them. Now we want to keep also in mind the fact that they did not have a New Testament right away. There was no New Testament. There was no Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Acts, so forth and so on, 27 books. When the church first started there in the day of Pentecost in the city of Jerusalem, there was no New Testament. The first book of the New Testament was written somewhere in the 50 A.D., which is 20 years after the church started in A.D. 33. A.D. 33 to about 52 or 53 A.D., that's when the first New Testament book was inspired and written. So about 20 years there, you know, how did the elders function? How did the evangelists function? How did they preach the gospel? Well, it was through the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And just by way of reminder, you had to have the apostles lay your hands on you in order to receive one of those spiritual gifts. There are no apostles today. And so there are no way that we could have the spiritual gifts today. Now, we're going to look at 1 Corinthians a little extensively today because they had a lot of spiritual gifts. Notice 1 Corinthians chapter 1 where Paul says this. He says in verse 5 of 1 Corinthians 1 that in everything you are enriched by Him in all utterance. You know what an utterance is? That's a speech. That's your speech. You're speaking. You're enriched by Him in all utterance and in all knowledge. By your speech and by your knowledge, you are enriched by Him, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. The reason and the purpose for the miracles was to confirm the Word of God. The Word of God had been confirmed in the church at Corinth. Then in verse 7, so that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. They did not come behind in no gift. That was a congregation that was full of spiritual gifts, and we're about to go to the chapter where we find out exactly what those spiritual gifts were. And so let's turn to 1 Corinthians 12. And I want to write these down so that we can visually see them as they're listed here. Now, they came behind in no spiritual gift. Keep that in mind. Lock in on that. So look at all the spiritual gifts that they had. But also, I want you to remember, and we don't have time to look at it now, but they were a congregation fraught with problems. They had a multitude of problems. they were divided. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, they were babes. They were having to be told to not commit fornication. They were surrounded by that kind of society. You know, we're surrounded by that same type of society today. You know, fornication, which is sexual sin outside of marriage, it's on all the movies, it's in the on the television programs, it's everywhere. So he had to tell them, don't do that. We have to do the same thing today. Don't commit fornication. Matter of fact, he would say, flee fornication. Flee. Get away. Be like a Joseph in the Old Testament when he was tempted daily, on a daily basis by Potiphar's wife. She grabbed a hold of him, and he just slid out of his coat. She had his coat. He slid out of it, and he ran away. He literally fleed from fornication. That woman laid her hands on him. You talk about sexual harassment today. It existed back in those times as well. And so they had all kinds of problems here in this congregation. Now, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And let's begin looking at verse 1. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, that's what we've written up here on the board. Spiritual gifts, that's what we're talking about. You know, if we don't study what the church had back then, here's the problem, and here's one of the reasons why we want to study this, is because we'll think spiritual gifts are available for us today. That's what people think. They think we got to speak in tongues today. They believe that we have to have miracles today. And then that's not true. And by the way, they think, oh, if you speak in tongues, boy, you got the Holy Spirit, you're going to be very spiritually mature and all of that. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible doesn't say that at all. Verse 1, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant. Now, so we don't want to be ignorant either. You know that you were Gentiles, and that's what kind of congregation we're dealing with here, is Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Look where you came from. You came from worshiping idols. You were Gentiles. You were worshiping idols. And oh, they had the idols back then. Oh, they had just myriads of gods. You know, you even see their gods on television programs today. These Greek gods, that's Corinth was in the heart of the Greek culture in the Greek land. And even as you were led, so you were following these things. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God. How did they speak? How did they know what to teach? They didn't have a New Testament. Well, they spoke by the Spirit of God. They had inspired people. If the apostles laid their hands on you, the Holy Spirit would give you whatever gift God wanted that person to have. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. So they had people going around saying they had the Spirit of God, just like they do today. We have people today who say, well, I've got the Holy Spirit. I've been baptized in the Holy Spirit. I can prophesy. Well, these people did the same thing. And they called Jesus accursed. He said that you don't do that if you're speaking by the Spirit of God. And that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now, notice, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit was providing the information for the New Testament church. How in the world did the elders know what to do and how to correct people? How did the evangelists know what to preach? Because they were directed by the Holy Spirit. Now, there are diversities of gifts. What gifts is he talking about? He's already said in verse 1, I'm going to talk about spiritual gifts. Now, there are diversities of gifts, and we're going to write them down here on the board. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And one of the reasons for writing chapter 12, chapter 13, and chapter 14 was stop the division. Look, we only have one Spirit providing these gifts. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. So you got the Spirit in verse 4. You've got gifts in verse 4. You've got different gifts. You've got different administrations of these gifts. Verse 6, and there are diversities of operations. They don't all do the same thing, but is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation the manifestation of the Spirit. What is he talking about, the manifestation of the Spirit? Well, the manifestation of the Spirit is the spiritual gifts. It is given to every man to profit with all. And we would say everybody. These spiritual gifts, they're different. They have different operations. They have different functions. But they are to profit everyone. Don't divide over these spiritual gifts. For to one is given by the Spirit, so that's the supplier, the word of wisdom. So I want to write these down here. Okay, number one, word of wisdom. How did they get their wisdom? The wisdom is properly applying the information that you have. You have information, you properly apply it. We will sometimes see the Bible calling someone foolish. Well, what does that mean? Well, that's the opposite of wisdom. Wisdom properly applies the knowledge. Foolishness ignores the knowledge. They ignore what is right. So, one of the gifts was the word of wisdom. You think the elders might have had that gift? I do. They would need wisdom, wouldn't they? They would need to know how to properly apply God's word. And so it says, to another, the word of knowledge. So you see there's a difference between wisdom and knowledge. So here we've got the word of knowledge. So that would supply information, wouldn't it? So how do you worship? Well, you sing. That would be applying, that would be supplying knowledge. But notice the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. That's where it came from. Where did the wisdom come from? The Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Where did the knowledge come from? The knowledge came from the Holy Spirit. To another, faith. And we've already mentioned this a little bit. We'll talk about it again. But that's not the kind of faith that you and I have. We'll see in a minute, that's a supernatural faith. That's a faith that can do wonders. Then it says, to another faith by the same Spirit, to the another, the gifts of healing. So it's called gift there, isn't it? So we got gifts of healing. So they had the power to heal people. You know, over there in James 5, it says, if anybody's sick, you call for the elders of the church. You think the elders of the church would have some of the... I do. I believe that's the proper understanding of that passage. Anointing them with oil. Do you remember that Hezekiah, when he was sick, Hezekiah prayed to God that he wouldn't die? You know he didn't. But do you remember they did something medically to him? Does anybody remember that? Did they not take a lump of figs? Were they not told to take a lump of figs and put it on the sore? Sure they did. God kept that man, Hezekiah, from dying, but he applied some medical technology of the day to the problem that he had. And so when the elders of the church was to pray for the sick, they were to anoint them with oil, and that's what the Good Samaritan did to the man who was injured on the road. He helped him out with wine, poured wine on it and oil on it. And so those were medical technologies. So gifts of healing. So yes, they could heal the sick. That was one of the gifts. How do you know that? Because the Bible says it right there. They came behind in no gift. And then it says, but notice the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. Verse 10, to another, the working of miracles. Well, gifts of healing, that would be a miracle, wouldn't it? Well, but there were other kind of miracles. So they had miracles. And of course, Christ performed many miracles. He walked on the water, so forth and so on, called a fig tree to wither. And so there was the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. We don't have to guess about these gifts. They're all listed here. They came behind in no gift. To another, the discerning of spirits. You know, we read over there in 1 John chapter 4, it says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits to see whether they are of God." So you had true apostles who had the Spirit of God. They had the Spirit of God, but there were these false apostles, just like there are today. There are people today who will say, "Oh, I got a message from God. Let me tell you. I got a message from God. Holy Spirit brought me a message, and you know what He told me? You send me $100. Well, how do you know whether that's a true spirit or not? Well, back then, they had people to discern those spirits. Now, we can discern them right here. By the way, if he says the Spirit of God told me to tell you to send me $100, that's not true. The Spirit speaks to us through this media now, not through direct operation of the Holy Spirit. And so they needed the discerning of spirits, because as 2 Corinthians 11, 13 through 15 says, there were people going around claiming to be apostles. Hey, he came in here. He wants to preach. He says he's an apostle. What should we do? Should we let him preach? We don't want to say no to an apostle of Christ. Well, they had somebody there to discern. And so they needed that. And it says to and another, discerning of spirits, to another, diverse kinds of tongues. Now, we've seen by reading, I'm going to write tongues up there because that's the translated word, but a tongue is simply, according to Acts 2, a language. Now, it's not just any kind of language. Abity, abity, bo, ba, 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 ba. That's a language there, folks. No, that's not a language. The language the Bible is speaking of is a human language that people can understand. French, Portuguese, Argentine, British, that's a language. English, that's a language. Spanish, that's a language. And so these tongues are languages, but they're not unknown languages. They're known languages. Now, they were unknown. Well, the reason why they're called unknown tongues is because that person didn't know it before. It was a gift of the Holy Spirit. Then, the Bible says, and another, the interpretation of tongues. Where is that today? The interpreting. Make sure I spell this right. I didn't spell it right. Interpreting of tongues. That's 9. The interpretation of tongues. So there's the 9 spiritual gifts. You come behind in no gift. Look at that range. There's difference of workings, difference of administrations, different functions for these. You see, this one is not the same as maybe that one. And this one's not the same as that one. They're different. They have different applications. That's what this passage is talking about. But all these, verse 11, worketh that one and the self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severally, or across the board, as He will. The Holy Spirit made that determination. The Holy Spirit made that decision. For as the body is one, now the body is the church, and hath many members, well, here is the human body. For as the body is one, human body, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Now the one Spirit, we're baptized in the one body. What is that talking about? Well, how did you get this? By the Spirit. How did you get that? By the Spirit. And so it was by that Spirit, by the direction of the Holy Spirit, by the information that the Holy Spirit is providing, you were baptized. Well, baptized into what? Baptized into one body. The church is the one body. Just like your human body, we all have the digits on our hands. We all have the forearms. We all have the other arm, liver, lungs, all that sort of thing. Millions of cells in our body. Millions of cells. And there are cells dying in your body every day and new ones being reproduced. But all of these many, many parts, lungs, kidneys, liver, pancreas, heart, all work together to keep that body alive. And that's what he's trying to emphasize here. There are many members in the church. We have different functions. Some can lead to singing better than others can lead to singing. Some can do this better than someone else. We used to have an evangelistic group meet. We had an older lady, and she would cook pies. She'd say, well, I went to visit my neighbor, and I took a pie over there to her. She's part of evangelistic group. We was evangelistic. And I'd call that the pie. You know, she's the good one about the pie. She could cook the pie. She could take it to her neighbor, sick neighbor, and visit them, invite them to church, and so forth and so on. So we all have different functions. We do things differently. And so, by one Spirit, just like the one Spirit gave them all those 9 spiritual gifts, for by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, which of course is the church. Whether we be Jews, Paul of course was a Jew, or Gentiles, the Corinthian church was a Gentile church, whether we be bond or free, so the Holy Spirit could be given to someone who was a bond servant. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that great? Bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. So that Spirit was providing the help and the nourishment, the drink for that congregation. For the body is not one member, but many. And so they were evidently saying, hey, I got this gift over here. I don't need you. Watch this. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Does that make sense? If the foot says, look, I'm holding up the weight, I'm not the hand because I'm not doing your job, because I don't have your blessing, then we're going to divide here. We're going to split up. No, that doesn't make sense. The hand doesn't disjoint itself from the body because it doesn't do the work of the hand. And so that's what he's pointing out here. And if the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Can that happen? No, it cannot happen. If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If everybody did the same thing, you know, if everybody had the word of wisdom, where's the word of knowledge going to come from? Where's the prophecy going to come from? And so everybody has a function, and it helped. You know, the hand doesn't do what the foot does, or the eye doesn't do what the ear does, but they all do very important functions to help the whole body. If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? Verse 18, but now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? You can't all be the eye because there wouldn't be a body. You have to have all the parts. But now are many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor yet again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. You might say, oh, that guy there, he just has interpretation tongues. He's not very important. No, that's not how we look at it. You know, every part of our body, even that little bitty digit on the end of our little bitty fingers, is important. If it wasn't important, God wouldn't have put it there, but God put it. God made our bodies the way He saw fit to help the whole body, and so we need everything. And remember the king back there, and what was that, the first part of Judges? I can't remember, the Judges 2 or 3, that had his thumbs cut off and his big toe cut off. I knew a little kid out at Rising Star, bless his little heart. He lived behind the church building, and his daddy worked on a bulldozer. And you know those pump jacks, those oil pump jacks? They got fences around some of them. But this little kid, I visited him in the hospital. He had his big toe cut off because he got on one of those pump jacks. He said, I want to ride. My daddy told me when he was a kid, he rode the pump jack. But he rode the pump jack, and the reason why they don't want you around them is because they're very, very dangerous. Cut his big toe off. Bless his little heart. He wanted to go play football as a ninth grader, and you could tell every time he ran, he that foot gave him problems. He didn't have that big toe, so he played for like a week or so, and then he quit. But every part of the body is important. Even those parts that you think are feeble and unnecessary are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. And so the church is to be unified. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism. That means no division in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another, and whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all members rejoice with it. Now you, that's that ye in the King James Version, see that ye right there? That's plural. Now ye are the body of Christ, notice singular, and members in particular. Now watch verse 28. And God has set some in the church. And I want to write these over here on this side. First apostles. They certainly had the Holy Spirit, didn't they? And then he says, secondarily, prophets. Well, how did these prophets and apostles function? By these gifts of the Holy Spirit. Thirdly, teachers. How did they know what to teach? They didn't have New Testaments because of these spiritual gifts. And after that, miracles, the gifts of healings, helps, healings. God put those in the church. Five, helps. That's what deacons did. They did works of help. And then he says, after that, miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments. What's that? That's the elders. The elders were to function as a part of the organization of the Lord's church. And diversities of tongues. I'll just put languages there. Languages, however that's spelled. So God's done all of that. God did that to the first century church. We don't have apostles today. We don't have inspired prophets today. We don't have healings today. We've got the Word of God. We have the confirmed Word of God. Now, he says, furthermore, are all apostles? Well, there's only one answer. Nope. Are all prophets? Nope. Are all teachers? No. Are all workers of miracles? No. Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? No, the answer to all those is no. Matter of fact, once the apostle left that town, he was there for 18 months. And when he left, that was the end of the supply of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. That was the end of their supply. They could only receive more spiritual gifts if another apostle came to town. And so when Paul left, all the other new converts who came after They didn't get any spiritual gifts. That includes slaves, free men, whatever it was. And so they couldn't have it. And so the people that got all of these, they were there when Paul was there for 18 months. Now, they could have been looking down on the other guy and saying, well, you wouldn't hear. You don't have spiritual gifts. Look, I got seniority here. I was here before you was. I got a spiritual gift. You don't. And so that's the attitude that Paul's trying to address here. Don't do that. Everybody's important to the whole body, no matter how weak one member seems to be. But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. We studied here a couple weeks ago that people misunderstand the Bible. One of the things they misunderstand is that people put the chapter breaks in there. Now, because there's a chapter break here, Paul didn't change subjects. He's still on the same subject. And he's on the same subject in chapter 12 and chapter 13 and chapter 14. Just because we go to another chapter does not mean that he stopped talking about that. Now, notice this in chapter 13. He says, but I'm going to show you a more excellent way. Now, that of course is love. Then he says, if I speak with the tongues of men or of angels. Look, if I speak with the tongues, you can have a spiritual gift. If I speak with the tongues of men, hey, if I go up to another level, and of angels and have not charity, and that's what they were lacking in the Corinthian church, was charity, I'm become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. You know, I think about a little kid in the kitchen sitting on the floor. And he's got his mama's pots and pans down on the floor, and he's got a wooden spoon or a metal spoon, and he's just banging and banging and clanging and clanging. That didn't make any sense. It's not music, it's just noise. And I believe that's similar to what he's talking about here. You're just a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of what? Though I have the gift of what? Prophecy. That's a spiritual gift. And so he's still talking about spiritual gifts here. And understand all mysteries and all what? Knowledge. Hey, I've got spiritual gifts. I've got prophecy. Hey, I've got knowledge. Hey, I've got tongues. But guess what? He also says, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains. There's that faith right there. That's not the ordinary faith like you and I have. That's a supernatural faith. Supernatural faith that could remove mountains. So he's talking about another spiritual gift there. But he says, and have not charity, I am nothing. You can have all these spiritual gifts you want. But if you're not loving one another and honoring one another and having unity with one another, you don't mean anything in the Lord's church. You're not fulfilling your purpose. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor. Well, there could have been some rich people there. And they could have had great bounty. And he says concerning those that didn't have spiritual gifts, whoever they might be. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor. Well, that's a wonderful thing. And though I give my body to be burned. Well, that's sacrificial there. And have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. And so he's pointing out these spiritual gifts. You can have these great and wonderful spiritual gifts, but without love, it's nothing. And so they were having problems in the church. They were divided. And even though they had these spiritual gifts and didn't come behind in any of them, they still needed to be corrected. And so that's why he said, I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning these spiritual gifts. And so here's the better way. Verse 31 of chapter 12 says, and yet I show you a more excellent way. And then he goes through what love does. Here's what you need, because without this you're nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly. You know, never be impolite. We should always be polite and courteous, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. You know, we can't even think evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things. That's what a mother does with her children. She bears all things because she loves them. Hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. It never fails. Watch this. But whether there be prophecies, what is he going to say about prophecy there? He says, whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Look, these spiritual gifts are going to fail. Love doesn't fail, but these spiritual gifts, what does he mean by that, never fail? Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Look at that. Why don't we have spiritual gifts today? Because he said they're going to fail. They're going to cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. So what is he saying? These spiritual gifts are not to be here forever. They're going to fail. You know, once all the apostles died, then they begin to vanish away. The spiritual gifts. Let's say that someone was here when Paul, let's say that we lived in the first century and Paul came and he laid his hand on this guy. He received the gift of prophecy. Paul goes away. The guy lives out his life and dies. It's going to fail. It's going to cease. It's going to stop. It's going to vanish away. That's what he means right there. And so it's going to fail. It's going to cease. It's going to vanish away. What? The spiritual gifts. Verse 9, for we know in part and prophesy in part. See that know and see that prophesy? We only know in part. We only prophesy in part. Paul didn't deliver the whole New Testament. There were many men who delivered the New Testament. We had Matthew that delivered one book of the New Testament. We had Mark that delivered another book of the New Testament. We had Luke that delivered another book or two books of the New Testament. We had John that delivered John and 1st, 2nd, 3rd John and the book of Revelation. But no one man produced the whole New Testament. And so we know in part. We prophesy in part. You know, we actually have an advantage over those people that had spiritual gifts because we got all of what they did in part. They had knowledge in part. They had prophecy in part. But we have the whole package right here in our hands. Verse 9, for we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect, now that word perfect means complete. Perfect there does not mean, you know, we think there's only one meaning to that word perfect, and that means without sin. Well, that's the Greek word teleos means complete. When the Bible tells us to be perfect, it doesn't mean for you to, you cannot, if you ever sin once, you're done for. That's not what it means. It means you need to have the complete array of spiritual qualities. You need to have patience. You need to have godliness. You need to have loving kindness. You need to have goodness. You need to be perfect. You need to be complete. So when that which is perfect, what does that mean? That means the completed product. When that which is perfect is come, the completed product, that which is in part, what's in part? Well, the knowledge is in part. The prophecy is in part. That which is in part, what? Shall be done away. The ending of those spiritual gifts. The Bible clearly teaches that the spiritual gifts were not to last. And then he says this in verse 11. When I was a child, I spake as a child. You know, child, this is the complete. But child goes back to someone who is, or something that is incomplete. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, when I became complete, I put away childish things. You know what? He's comparing this. He's not saying these are childish things. He's using the analogy that this is the infant church. This is the church in development. And so when the church reaches maturity, it does away with those things that they used in infancy. We almost got through with this passage. But verse 13 says, "Now abideth faith, hope, and charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity." And so, you know, instead of people wanting to have spiritual gifts, they should want to have the more perfect thing, and that is love. We have the completed Word of God. These things here, they confirm the Word of God. It's confirmed. We don't need somebody from the Old Testament to come back and confirm the Old Testament. It's already confirmed. When the policeman says, "Let me see your ID," and you put your ID out there, you've confirmed your identity. You don't have to show it to him every 2 minutes. "Hey, look, this is who I am. Look, this is where I live. Look at this again. Look at this again. No, once you confirm it, or at your employment, when you confirm your identity, you don't have to go back every day and confirm your identity again. And the same is true with the Word of God. Once confirmed, it's been confirmed. Wish we had more time, but anyway, we got through with that section. Thank you for your kind attention, and we'll be dismissed.